In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, life and everything else. And on the seventh day, he rested. Work and rest, a sacred rhythm built into the fabric of creation. This day of rest is called the Sabbath. It's a command given to us from God to take one day of the week to stop, rest, and delight in the Lord. It's a nearly forgotten practice that goes against the very grain of our society. With so much emphasis on productivity and achievement, it seems crazy to stop. Why would God ask us to do this? It's because we are limited people. God never meant for us to be defined by our work. We are His children, made in His image, and the Sabbath reminds us of who we are. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." It's a reminder that we are no longer slaves. We have been delivered from bondage by the blood of Jesus, and that's why we can be truly content. So on the Sabbath day, we stop. We put down our work, realizing that it does not define us. We rest. We allow our minds, bodies, and souls to slow down. We delight. We enjoy God, our families, creation, and all the good things that God has given us. The Sabbath is a gift given to us by God, to us for our good. So today, let go of your striving and receive the gift of Sabbath.
So we're continuing our series this week, and this month is about rest. It's about making sure that we have a good balance in our lives of work and rest, and making sure that we are healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so last week, we simply talked about this idea that God gave Himself permission to rest in creation. Jesus gave the disciples permission to rest when He was leading them and teaching them. And He wants us to give ourselves permission to rest throughout our daily lives and the things that we work on, and not go from thing to thing to thing to thing. A brilliant conversation happened in small group last week after we were talking. We were talking about why we don't rest. And one student said, "We don't rest because I think that if I get the stuff done now, then I'll have more time to rest later." And isn't that what we do? We say, "Man, I know I've got this to do. I know I need to rest. But if I get it done now, I'll have more time later." But then we just back that up to what's next. And that makes it difficult. So giving ourselves permission to rest is huge. I thought that was brilliant by that student. Earlier this winter, our backyard was a mess. It was crazy muddy. We keep chickens in our backyard. I know this is a very blurry picture, okay? But this is our house. This right here is our back porch. And this right here is our chicken coop. Our chicken coop is like 3 feet from our house. And so the chickens, especially in the winter, in the summer, like, they go all the way out here. But in the winter, they hang out right here. And we come out, we go through a gate here, and we walk around to feed and water the chickens and all that good stuff. So right in here was ridiculously muddy. I mean, it was nuts. Tate takes care of our chickens in the morning. Clark takes care of our chickens in the evening. We all go out from time to time, but it's mostly them. And when they would go out, like, their shoes would sink 6 inches into the mud, like they were getting their boots stuck. The feed and the waters were starting to sink in the mud. It was a mess. But we knew what we needed to do to solve this problem, because this happens every single year in the winter or spring. And that is, we needed to lay down a thick layer of mulch. So we call tree trimming companies. They come, they dump the wood chips in our yard, and we wheelbarrow them to where the mud is and lay the mulch on top. It's a win-win because it keeps us from sinking in the mud. And then in the spring, when the chickens are a little more active, like, they scratch around and eat bugs and all that good stuff. So win-win. The problem is, When the tree trimming companies come and they dump our mulch pile sits right here. And so what we have to do is we have to load up wheelbarrows. We have to take them around our yard, around the side yard. The gate to get into our fenced-in backyard is all the way down here. So we have to go around and then bring the mulch back up. So it's a difficult task. To make matters worse, our backyard obviously gets wet. And so I decided, hey, I'll be smart. I'm going to dig a trench in our backyard. And I did. And it worked really well. The water drains out of our back area of our yard really well. The only problem is that trench runs right through the gate where I was going to be wheelbarrowing mulch. So Tate and Brinkley and I went out on this drizzly, rainy, kind of rainy day, and we're wheelbarrowing mulch. And believe it or not, mulch that has sat in your yard or driveway for over a year is wet. It's a rather heavy wheelbarrow load. And so I go to lift up this wheelbarrow and like it's that mushy ground and I can feel it kind of sink beneath me. And so I get it and I start going around this way and like I get right up here and I have a choice to make. I see the ditch, which is full of water and mud, and it's in the middle of this gate. And I'm like, okay, I'm not stopping. I'm just going for it. I'm going to build up power. I'm going to build up steam, and I'm just going to go for it. My legs were aching at this point because I think our wheelbarrow tire was a little flat on top of everything. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to go for it. And I started and I rammed and boom, stopped dead right in the middle of the trench. I went down okay, but getting back up and through the mud and through the water, it was not happening. And I was really wondering as I stood there in the mud and the water, how am I going to get this done? Like, we ended up doing, like, I don't know, 15 wheelbarrow loads that day. And we were like, how in the world am I going to be able to continue to move all of these wheelbarrow loads when I am stuck on my first one? In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is talking to a crowd of people that had gathered around him. And as Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 11, we won't read the whole chapter, but I do want to give you a little bit of backstory, because as Jesus speaks, he starts talking partway through chapter 11. And in chapter 11, Jesus takes two tones of voice. It's really interesting. He takes two tones of voice. The first tone that he takes is a tone of complete frustration. And that's a tone of complete frustration toward the religious leaders. And he's like, guys, you don't get it. You don't understand. I have come. I have shown you who I am. I have done miracles. I have taught. I have preached. I have shown you that I am here to do a new thing, not to get necessarily rid of the old stuff, but to make it greater. And it's so much broader than you ever imagined. And you miss it. You miss it. And he's so frustrated, and he's like, the problem is, not only do you miss it, but as religious leaders, you are guiding people away from the place where they need to be in me. And it's this whole tone of just complete and utter frustration toward these religious leaders. And then near the end of chapter 11, his tone switches as he starts to talk to the rest of the crowds that had gathered around him. And it's this tone of compassion. It's this tone of compassion toward these people that honestly, they are searching for God. Honestly, they want to follow God as best as they possibly can. And their entire lives, they have been working and striving and trying to follow God, making sure that they do enough to make sure that God loves them, making sure that they are valuable enough that God would find them valuable. And they work and they work and they work. And Jesus says, listen, you guys are carrying a heavy load. And I love what he says here in Matthew chapter 11 as he speaks with compassion toward these crowds. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and struggling, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you'll find rest in me. And I love what Jesus does here, because he is speaking to a group of people that are stuck carrying heavy loads in their minds, wondering if they ever will measure up to be good enough to be accepted by God. And they're stuck. They're stuck in the mud of working hard to try to get to God. They're stuck in the mud of what the religious leaders have taught them throughout the ages. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Anyone who is struggling and carry heavy loads, I will give you rest. Now, last week we talked about giving ourselves permission to rest physically. This week is more about permission to rest in Jesus mentally and emotionally. Let's be honest. We carry some heavy loads. We carry some heavy loads of frustration and stress and being overwhelmed. Maybe there's some things that are going on in your life that you feel like you just can't handle right now. Maybe you are stuck you're just struggling with this one thing and you feel like you're never going to be able to overcome it. And maybe you've got just this stress or this worry in your life and you're like, man, I just feel completely stuck. Stuck in the mud with a heavy load. Have you ever felt stuck and you feel like you're not going to make it through? Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. That day I stood there in the trench and I stood there and I was stuck. And I took a few steps back and I took some deep breaths and I knew that it was going to be difficult. And so I just rested for a moment. I thought, all right, if I can just catch my breath, if I can give my muscles just a little bit of time to relax and a little bit of time to regain their strength, then I'll be able to come back stronger and I'll be okay. But in that moment of resting, I knew that I wasn't done. I knew that there was still ways to go ahead of me in order to get the mulch all laid out in the backyard. And I think a lot of times what we communicate is this idea that if we come to Jesus, he's going to give us rest. And a lot of times the church has communicated, he's going to give you rest, he's going to take everything away, everything is going to be all right. And ultimately, it creates this issue where we feel like Jesus doesn't come through. And I have to apologize because as a church, we have said Jesus is going to take care of everything. Jesus is going to give you rest. But that's not really what Jesus communicates in this moment. Jesus does say, I will give you rest. But he also understands that what you are resting from may not necessarily go away. You may still have some work to do. You may still have some things to overcome. You may still have some hard work ahead of you. And this is the beauty of the rest that Jesus offers. Because he says, come to me, all you who are weary and struggling and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, just lay down, give up, just rest, just forget about everything else. No, he says, there's still work to be done. He says, after you rest for a little bit, put on my yoke. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will continue to find rest for yourself, but my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. The expectation in that phrase is that there's still going to be work to do, but we're going to do it together. And we're going to take moments where you rest and where you come back stronger. And I'm going to be right there with you, step by step every bit of the way. I love that he uses this idea of a yoke. This yoke is when two animals are harnessed together to help move something that is a heavy load or a heavy burden or plow a field that is something that's really, really difficult. And in order for a yoke to work, two things have to happen. One, the animals are helping each other carry the load. They both are working together. And two, in order for it to work best, both animals have to be moving the same direction. Both animals have to be working toward a similar goal. And so they have to be working together. I need a volunteer. Anybody? All right, Clark, come on up. All right, one sec, she says. She's got to get on her her shoes, looks like. Come on up here, Clark. Right up here on the stage. Very good, very good. Don't trip. You're good. I'm going to move this TV back a little bit. All right. So I've got a pretty heavy load. I've got 5 gallons of water in this bag. Okay? I just need you to pick it up and carry it all the way across the stage.
Okay?
All right. Pick it up. There you go. All right. Look at her go. All right. Come on back. Bring it on back. Now, that's pretty heavy, right? She says, okay. So if I said, Clark, I need you to pick that up, and I need you to carry it around the room, up the stairs, around, back down the stairs, and back up on the stage. How would you feel about that?
I'd love to try.
You would love to try.
Yeah,
No, you cannot try, because I don't think that would work. I think you would fall, and you would get hurt, and water would go spilling everywhere as you fell down the stairs, I'm guessing. But now we're not going to yoke ourselves together. A yoke goes around a neck, so I'm not going to put anything around anybody's neck, because that just is a thing that's ready for disaster. But if we did this, and you stood on that side of the bag, and I stood on this side of the bag, and we worked together, and we lifted like this, and we both carried together, do you think we could get all the way around the room? I mean, if the stairs were wide enough.
I was about to say no, because this isn't wide enough. Probably.
I think we could. That wasn't too bad, was it? But here's the thing. What if we did this? Let's do this again. I'll step on this other side. We'll go the opposite direction.
Okay.
Scoot around this way. All right. Now, what if we did this? Ready? Let's walk together, and I started going like this. You think that's going to work for? Probably not, right? Because it works best when we are both moving the same direction, right? All right, thank you, Clark. Everybody give Clark a hand. This is the beauty of what Jesus offers us, is that he says, I know that you've got a heavy load, and I am not going to leave you alone to carry it all on your own. I'm not. I'm going to offer you rest, and I'm going to offer you help along the way. And I love especially what he says here. He says, put on my yoke, and then he says, learn from me. Listen, Jesus understands that when we start working with him, we're not going to be perfect immediately. We may end up trying to go some ways that Jesus doesn't want us to go with our lives. And he says, learn from me. You can allow me to help you not only carry your burdens, but direct your life in such a way that you find rest and peace no matter what comes your direction. And every day we get better, and every day we improve, and every day we become more and more closely walking with Jesus. And he's right there every step of the way, helping us learn how to carry our burdens and carrying our burdens and our heavy loads with us. And I love that he says, I'm gentle and humble. The moment we start going another direction, he doesn't berate us. He doesn't tell us how horrible we are. He just gently says, hey, let's come on back this way. I want to help you. Let's do this together. You don't have to do it all on your own. Let me carry some of the load with you. And then you will also find rest for your soul along the way. And when you start working with me, you'll find that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, I know from carrying that bag up here on the stage before it all got started tonight, that bag was heavy. And I know that when we were carrying it on the bar, it was significantly lighter and easier to carry. And that's what Jesus wants to do for us. So I stood there stuck in the yard, trying to figure out how I was going to get all these multiple wheelbarrow loads of mulch into our backyard. And I realized that if I would allow Brinkley and Tate to help me, not necessarily push the wheelbarrow because that wouldn't necessarily work, but when we would go to fill the wheelbarrow, I would kind of rest a little bit and they would fill the wheelbarrow. And then they would run ahead of me and make sure that our electric fence was out of the way, that our chain link fence was open, and it's like they were cheering me on as I went. And then I would get right around to the side yard and I would just stop. And I would put my hands on my knees and I would just rest for a moment. And I remember that they would be like, "Dad, you got this. You got this." And then I would pick up the wheelbarrow. And because I had taken some time and I had rested and I had allowed other people to help and I wasn't trying to do it all on my own, we were able to move all of the mulch. Listen, resting in Jesus, allowing him to help us carry our burdens along the way, allows us to come back stronger and make it through things with his help that we never thought we could make it through. It allows us to come back stronger and make it through things that we never thought we could make it through. And so the question is, how do we do this practically? What does this look like on a daily basis? Because it's easy to say, yeah, I'm going to rest in Jesus. Well, how do you do that? Two very quick things. One, be honest with Jesus. That's something, if I'm being honest with you, I'm not honest enough with Jesus very often. He wants to hear how we're doing. He wants to hear when things are going well, but he also wants to hear our frustrations. He wants to hear our hurts. He wants to hear when we're overwhelmed. He wants to hear the moments when we're like, man, I just don't know if I can make it. And the cool thing is, he's big enough to handle that. He's big enough to listen and give us rest in those moments. And so the first thing that we can practically do to begin to find rest in Jesus is to be honest with him. Open up to Jesus. Give him your emotions and your feelings and tell him what is going on in your life. And then ask Jesus to show you the direction he is guiding your life. Tell him, man, point out something in my life, Jesus, that just needs to be better. Let me be yoked to you so that I can continue to walk the way you want me to walk, and we can do this life together, and you can help me carry the load that I'm carrying. And then when he points something out, when you notice something yourself or a friend comes alongside you and is like, dude, what was up with that? You can be like, oh. Then you make a plan to do better. And you tell a trusted adult, hey, I really want to work on this. I want to get better at this. I feel like Jesus is telling me that I need to improve. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to do more of this. I'm going to try to do less of this. And check in with that adult from time to time. Let them know how it's going. Make a plan for how to do better. And if that plan seems to not be working super well, you know what? That's okay. Because Jesus says, learn from me. So we learn along the way. We say, hey, all right, that plan didn't work out super well. So we go back, we connect with that adult, that person that we trust again. We say, hey, this plan didn't work. Let's adjust some things because I am serious. I want to be better. And I want Jesus to help me be better. And what's cool is that seems scary up front. But when we can get in the habit of doing that, we can say, and we can see in our lives that there is more rest, that we are walking step in step with Jesus. And as we face trials, as we face the difficult things in life, we find that Jesus is right next to us, and he's carrying the load with us, and he's giving us rest along the way so that we can make it through things we even thought we could never make it through. Jesus wants to give you rest, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. He wants to help you walk through this life, and he wants to give you the best life you could possibly live. Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you so much for carrying the load.